Yeah. Good morning, everyone. My name is Chen De Li. I'm from Taiwan, National Central University. So it's a long way from there. It's about 10,000 miles east, but in terms of the Western universities here. So I'm very glad to present my work. It's about BE star with large infrared access, and especially present all the bright emissaries here to all of these fields. So we introduced lots about the bright emissary. So let's look step backward to see all the emissary from the HR diagrams. So all these emissary, you can see they are either very early, they are like a T-Tauri star or Herbig AB star in Premain sequence, or evolved star like Wolf Rayet star, giant or super giant, and they are maybe very blue or red, and there's a luminosity class from the dwarf to the supergiant. So they are everywhere. So about the BE star, it's the only bright emissary lie on or slightly above the main sequence. So they have shown the small amount of near infrared access due to the plasma emissions. So my work start in this diagram. This is the color J minus HH minus K. And the black dot are the selected BE star. They show a small amount of near infrared access. And compared to Herbig AB star, they show large amount of near infrared access. However, there are a few of them showing a very large infrared access. So the question is why? Can that be explained by hot gas? I don't think so. But how much access can reach for this gas? And later we will discuss. And are they due to the thermal dust emissions? Yeah. So another question is, are they BE stars? Okay. So I will use a very simple free-free emission model to choose our targets. So here is a B0 photosphere with a very hot free-free components. So I make this component because it is proportional to density square and volume. So I adjust the typical value 10 to 11 and 10 to 12 for the radius to increase the hot free-free components. So at the beginning, we could see its near infrared color is stopped at around zero. So from zero level to level two, it start at here. But when we increasing the hot plasma at the power of 10, so the increasing the larger of the free emission component, we see their near infrared color was increasing. And finally, if the free component dominated whole things, it will stop at about 0.7. Okay, so I think it is the good criteria we would choose for this target. And another thing I think we mentioned a lot today, the Balmer activity and the relations has a relation to near infrared access. So in my case, I said that H alpha, H beta, both in emission is red square. And the blue square is the H alpha only in emissions. And the black dot here is both of them are in absorptions. So for the both in emission case, they can up to 0.7 magnitude. And for both in absorption cases, they are smaller than 0.2 magnitude. So by the way, we mentioned that the H alpha has a relation to the emitting region. So we think these objects with large infrared access also has very extended gas envelope. So we decided to have a criteria to choose J minus HH minus K, both larger than 0.7 magnitude, was selected, all these objects. And if we plot this diagram into a contour, we see most of them are distributed, I think, centered at around slightly above the zero color the magnitude of this J minus H minus K. And only a few things here. So here is the main target we will discuss in the following. So before that, what is the explanations? So free emission, I think, is very unlikely. And are they, because they must cannot be explained by free emission alone. So they must have some dust around. So is this dust is natal dust from the premain sequence stars, or they are they binaries, or they are just the dust formation of BE stars? So I want to address this is the what I very want, curious about these targets. So 1994, Herbie say that their stars which look like AEB star are not premain sequence. So first we take a look about their SED. Okay, this one, HD259431, is the one of our 9 selected candidates, has a flat or rising SED toward mid-infrared. So in this case, they have large disk with the coal dust here. And all other cases is not like that. They have a really flat SED at near infrared, but their excess fluxes is not extended to mid-infrared and it's going down quickly. So we think in these cases, they have very compact and warm dust envelope. So are there any binary, non-binary among this list? So one thing I have to mention here, this millimeter point, we get it from the SMA. And we don't resolve this object, but anyway, we got the continuum measurement. And I have to send Stan, last time IAU 272, he suggested me to use the SMA to observe my objects. Yeah, okay. So there are 2 known binaries among these 9 objects. One is MWC 623, the other is HD 1A, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so their cool companion, the B8, actually can explain the near-infrared axis. However, because the axis flux extend to mid-infrared a little bit, so still, even though it is a binary, so we still need the thermal dust emission for these 2 confirmed binary. Okay? So here is all the other objects. So all of them showing the very steep decreasing at mid to millimeter. The other one only with the millimeter is this one. Yes. So about the SED, we think they are different from the premain sequence stars. So another question is, how far away from the star formation regions? So talking about the how far, we have to learn one thing is that if a star has a speed about 1 kilometer per second, how many times to travel 1 PC? The answer is 1 million years. Okay, so it takes lots of time to travel. If it is not fast enough. And how much time they have? For example, a BA star only spent 3 million years in its premain sequence phase. So it's very, very short. Okay, so all of these candidates with selectics, this blue, are not close to the star formation regions. Yeah, so they are at least a few degrees apart. And some case maybe linearly inside star formation regions, but they inside of the line of sight, but linearly they are unassociated. It's 500 PC to 3.5 kPC. So here also the other cases. They are very far away from this red star formation region. So except the candidates, except this HD259431 is right inside the star formation region, NGC2264. So it is most probable as a premain sequence star. But still, we cannot. So it is the only target we cannot be ruled out as a premain sequence stars, although maybe it just spent very few time in its premain sequence phase. So people may ask another question. Is these targets are isolated Herbie AB star? Okay. I just give you an example as a typical isolated Herbie AB star. It's HD163296. So indeed, it is not really far away from the star formation region. And if we check the Palomar star chart, it is really inside or not slightly offset of the star formation regions. So So let me explain in this way. If our target is the BE star not inside the star formation, it's totally different. This case is like the island like Taiwan or like England nearby the mainland. And this case like Hawaii in the middle of Pacific Ocean. So we don't think they don't have time to stay in the premium sequence phase. Okay. Then the next issue would be because all these targets, most of these targets showing the forbidden line here. I don't go to the detail, but show some forbidden line. So people are very likely to say that they are B bracket E star. Or many other terms in history. Okay? So, well, let's review the related term in history. And I will summarize what is my point. More than 150 years back, the Angelo Secchi find the first BE star. So at that time, we don't have modern astrophysics. Anything with emission line, we call that BE star. Okay? And about 100 years after, I just want to check the earliest as possible for these terms. The peculiar shell star has been this term has been used. And about 5 years later, with modern analogy of the premium sequence and main sequence, we know these emission line stars, some of them are premium sequence, Herbig AB star. And later on, some peculiar abnormal spectrum was discovered. So we use BQ or B bracket E. And at 1974, Gears used the classical BE or just BE star, now what we use. And they are like what I say previously, they are main sequence or post-main sequence phase. But once we use the term classical is introduced, the issue of how classical a category will follow. So later on, people will classify the B bracket E into an unclassified. And this one is unclassified B bracket E and the premium sequence B bracket E star and many other different type of bracket E stars. And later on 2000 is B bracket E star with warm dust or the most recently FSCMA star. So all these terms, I think I want to divide them into two categories. They are phenomenal terms or evolutionary terms. So if the terms is phenomenal, like emission line, shell, peculiar, anything, or forbidden, it is all phenomenal. And other thing is terms of evolutionary. So we use premium sequence, we use Herbig AB stars for premium sequence, or BE star for main sequence, or post-main sequence. And of course, this Herbig AB bracket E is phenomenal plus evolutionary. So it's more very, very complicated, the history of turn. But here, we want to simplify these things. Gears at 1974 say that we should use the BE star to denote the exhibiting the classical phenomena. So we use classical BE star as the star lie on the main sequence or post-main sequence. So regardless of how classical it is, I just adopt the classical BE star as the term of evolutionary state. Okay? So in my mind, the star has been they either premium sequence or main sequence, or maybe post-main sequence. So the idea is that if the star has different evolutionary state, they may have the same phenomenon, large IR axis. These things is not so well known, but it happens. Maybe different state, but with same phenomenon. So we don't know. But once the premium sequence state is excluded, the star should be a main sequence or post-main sequence star, or CVE star. And if we don't like the term classical, we may use the emission line star in early type emission line star in the main sequence. So this targets which I select, most of them are very distant from star formation regions. And they don't show the cold dust layover from star formation process by the SED. So they are more evolved status than premium sequence. And I think, of course, it is it is not very unlikely. So they are on the main sequence or post-main sequence phase. So why are they become this? We give a dust formation scenario. Because all the BE star has very fast rotation, and they pop off mass in the envelope. And the addition, in addition to that, this target has near the phase of turning off main sequence, evolving toward the red giant branch. So with an expanding photosphere and active mass loss, and their abundant second stellar hot plasma produce prominent HRF emissions. So their disk is expanding, and the expanding material cool off and condense to form the dust grains. So we kind of rule out they are pre-main sequence object, but their age is not well constrained. So I want to find some cases in cluster, but unfortunately we only have one case. This one is NGC 1857 VESAAA. It is its H alpha line, and it shows very large infrared axis at near infrared color. And this cluster is at the edge of 200 million years. So this star in the HR diagram, we think it is near the turning off point here. But if we want to find more cases, so we will search more cases in the cluster in the future. And it is starting, if you are interested, you can see the poster 0.6. Okay? And it is the conclusion. I will stop here and take questions. Thanks.
That just because you see a B star that's far away from a cluster doesn't necessarily mean that it didn't form by itself in the field, as counterintuitive as that may seem. Because I think some of the more recent evidence is starting to show that it may in fact be the case that you can form isolated OB stars, relatively speaking.
Yeah, but I know your point, but so it is the issue how far away from the systems.
No, you could form it anywhere, basically, as long as you had the gas.
But the single star would be formed?
More or less. You could. There is some evidence that you may be able to form OB stars in isolation. So you may still find, some very, very low mass stars in association with it, but it will look more or less isolated, especially if you're looking in the Milky Way.
They may be runaways, too.
Of course, yes, they may be runaways.
Yeah, it's another, but yeah. Runaway has runaway to be very speedy.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, I think we had a discussion in Paris. I don't think we can call those stars classical B stars. It's just different type of object, different evolutionary stage, of course, but they're not pre-main sequence. It's been addressed in the literature before. They have dust. The dust, we think it forms maybe around the binary system, in the circumbinary disk, because most of these stars were shown to be binaries already. So it's kind of a different group, and I would just caution from mixing them with classical B stars.
Yeah, yeah.
So, did they show the minus for the V sinus?
No.
You did do the V sinus?
Another guy in my group working on that. Okay. Most of the start with the data are not showing very large V sinus, but the sample is less. I think 3 or 2.
John?
You said they show the forbidden emission lines? And you don't know distances, so how do you know they aren't supergiant B bracketies?
You mean, am I ruling out they are supergiant?
Yeah.
No, I don't rule out that they will be supergiant, but they are, their spectral type has been classified, not goes to the eye. They are from the drop to subgiant. But
they have
I'm not working on that.
But they have the forbidden emission lines.
Yes.
The forbidden iron emission lines that B bracket E stars have.
B bracket E stars should be.
just a little comment.
Okay, we'll make one more comment and then we'll break for
The whole well-known numbers of the bracket here, non-supergiant stars.
Okay.
All well-studied, not very fast rotating stars. They include HD 50138, which we studied together, and Fast Kind Majoris itself, and some other stars, and we have high resolution spectroscopy, so it's definitely not the case of classical E stars.
There are many different kinds of black E, so.
Well, we can continue the discussion over coffee. Let's thank Shen Jun again.